T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Jason Barsky Show, WILK News Radio.
As a follow-up quickly to Jack's phone call, I look through here. The Black Lives Matter mural that was put on the streets in New York, they got, hang on a second, they had a three-day street closure permit. There's a story out in California where apparently they gave a permit for a temporary Black Lives Matter street mural near the courthouse. They approved it. They supplied the paint. City crew members, they washed it away despite the plans to, I guess, let it fade away over time. And that's been linked to another group trying to get permission to put a MAGA 2020 mural nearby. So I guess the city was like, well, we can't do that. So I understand the double standard there, and it's not fair. If you're going to agree to one person, you should be able to agree. You should agree to everybody. But if you get permits that kind of, well, let me find out here. We have Mayor Paige Cognetti on the phone. Sorry for the wait there, Mayor Cognetti. Good morning.
Not at all, Jason. How are you?
Good. I wouldn't say it was a contentious phone call, but I had a call from a Scranton resident who said that if you paint on the streets, it's the law, and you're breaking the law and you get arrested. And I said, well, if you have a permit, you're not. And we just went back and forth, but still breaking the law. And I said, I think you just disagree with the cause more than anything, because permits are designed to give you that free pass.
You can't have any political speech on public property. So that's where the difference between a Black Lives Matter versus something that's the moniker for a political candidate. That would be, those two things would be different.
What do you say to the people who immediately go, are you kidding me? Black Lives Matter is not political?
It's not, but it's not a political party. It's not a political candidate. So it's a social movement, but that's very different than a political party or candidate.
Okay. That's,
yeah. So, for example, political candidate, you go on social media, you have to register as a political candidate, and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, they vet you, and you have to give them your FEC filing and all these mm-hmm. things that show that you're a political candidate or party. So it is very different.
So are you saying, so yes or no, with my permit, I'm going to be very just unbiased here and just say, I want to put a street mural that simply says, Paige Cognetti is the mayor of Scranton. I want to paint that on the street. It doesn't pick a side. It just states a fact. Would that be denied?
You know, we've never had a request in my time in office for that. So okay.
It's not a good, it's not a bad, it's
fact.
Just.
Yeah, a statement of fact would, I don't know how we would be able to,
we haven't
talked about street painting for the city, but that would be a fact. But if it was Paige Cognetti for mayor, absolutely not.
No, this would just be stating if you're the mayor. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in the city. Obviously crazy times here. You have had a lot of issues. You inherited a lot of issues, a lot of things going on in the city. The latest was, tell everyone about the extension that was filed for the city.
Right. So what I love about Northeastern PA and Scranton in particular, especially, people do care so much what goes on, and that's great. And that's why I love being the mayor here. But really what the school district does most years is it's a very technical thing that the business administrator of the school district does, asking the Department of Education for permission to extend, to increase taxes up to a certain amount. So it's really what happened last week is a very technical thing. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's public record, but the school district, I think, is good to proactively put that out, that they're looking for the ability to raise taxes to a certain ceiling, but it doesn't mean that that's what they're going to do. And speaking with some of the members of the board, I mean, they certainly don't want to raise taxes that much at all.
Yeah, I mean,
they have to give themselves the ability to possibly do that and consider a range of an increase in the fall for that December budget.
You've seen, I'm sure, the response has been not positive by anybody. I think the message about, like, look, we've really been hit hard by this pandemic.
Yeah.
It kind of was like almost like the reverse of like the Robin Hood. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
hey.
and I realize that coming on, it just took me, 15 seconds to explain it. Like, that's hard, right? It's really hard. I understand people's reactions. And I am working with our team. We're getting together a group of people to look at our taxes, our taxes in the city that includes the school district. I don't have the ability to change what the school district is going to do, but I'm certainly not going to be naive and pretend that it doesn't impact our residents. And so we're in constant contact. I know that the school district is in their recovery plan to raise taxes, which only makes it more important for us at the city to do everything we can to not have to do that on our end.
Is there do you have any sort of power? I know it's a totally different area, but like, do you have any ability to say veto something like that if they were to do that? Do you have any, like, I don't think you have that power in Scranton, do you?
I don't. I think that my power lies in trying to do what we can on the city's end to balance that burden. And if the school district is raising, I don't think they will raise it that much, but we know the school district is raising. What are the things that the city can be doing to help out? So we are combing through our budget. We are putting together our budget process for 2021. There isn't a ton to cut, but we're trying to cut where we can and trying to figure that out. So I think my job is to be in constant communication with them, understand, and they certainly having been on the school board, understand their plight and what they have to deal with. We have very open dialogue. Really, I talk with them every week. So I think that's it's definitely a step in the right direction, and we're very focused on that. But this is terrible. I mean, it was already terrible. You and I would already be, without COVID, I think you and I would be talking today about Scranton taxes. Today there's an article in the Washington Post about Scranton, and I'm very excited because it includes what I talk about, which is Scranton is not an expensive place to live compared to New York and Philadelphia. Come here, move your family here, have a big house and you know, a beautiful house with a historic downtown and all the food and everything. Come here and do this. So I want to match that up with making it easy to do business in the city. And I'm very focused on the tax piece, but I understand the anger out there and the concern. You know, we just paid our taxes last week and that was a gut punch, right? So
right.
I'm right there with everybody.
Yeah. My theory, this is, you know, I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but my theory is that you go in early, you say 16.5%, they say they're going to raise it, with the idea being this makes news, people are talking. So when they go later to apply for federal, you know, money from the government to help them out, they go, look how bad we need it here. And they just basically are out there early going, look, help, we're over here, help us. And they try to get more of the pie. I feel like that's what it is. I feel like they would have to move out of the area if they were to sign off on a 16.5% school property tax. It doesn't seem safe or anything.
Again, it's giving them, it's the responsible thing to do to give themselves a range. But they certainly don't want to do that. And I don't think if this is something, I think it's August 1st is the deadline for the business administrator. It's a super technical thing that he's supposed to do. I don't think there's a grand strategy behind it. But I did want to talk about asking for funding. We were asking for funding in that next stimulus bill at the federal level that the Senate is considering. So, you know, we're asking for direct funding help, and we actually are circulating a letter right now to ask the governor for more help for the school district as well. And you know, I know you guys talk on the show, I'm sure, like, where does all this money come from? It's tough, but I would say my job at the local level is to advocate to the state and right now, especially the federal government, to get more funds into Scranton so that we aren't having to raise taxes very much.
What do you think the likelihood of that? Scranton, what people tell me, again, I've been out of the area. I was out of the area for a while. I've been back 3 years now, but people always say Scranton always gets the short end of the stick. They always seem to get a little bit less, and people think it's revenge politics. What do you think you can do, or what do you think what are the chances that Scranton gets a big boost and like a shot in the arm to really come out of this pandemic when we get there really with momentum?
Well, I don't think we shouldn't get anything that's more proportionate than it should all be proportionate, right? So yesterday I was on a call with dozens of mayors around the state. We were on the call with Senator Toomey, talking to him about direct funding and the need for that. It would all be proportionate. I'm not looking for Scranton to get any more than it should based on its population. But we definitely punch above our weight, and I work really hard to make sure that Scranton's profile around the region, around the state, even nationally, you know, that Washington Post article today I'm thrilled about, because it talks about Scranton and it talks about it in a positive way. We have this initiative at the city, Work From Here. We want to make that a campaign, like Work From Here. We'll all work from home. Why live in the Petri dish of New York City when you can live in Scranton and stretch out and work from here? So what I think my job is, you know, the chief marketer of the city, right? So get us out there, get people understanding what Scranton has to offer.
Is there still a plan in place for like tax-free businesses? Is that still a thing, or I think
Lerda?
There was one. It was like a 10-year thing. Someone brought this up yesterday. And reminded me.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the Lerda is the tax abatement for 10 years. That's still alive and well. And then federal opportunity zones. We have some great tracks of opportunity zones throughout the region, and especially in Scranton. Actually, there was a roundtable in Scranton yesterday with a representative from the federal government and some of the developers talking about that. So we do actually have some of those economic development tools to help startup businesses here. And you know that those can be controversial too, as you know. Every day, everything has two sides, and my job, I think, is to try to talk about how it can benefit. These things can benefit all people, even though, you know, sometimes it's unpalatable to say, well, wait a second, why does this developer not have to pay taxes on this property? Well, if they're bringing business to Scranton, we want them to come here, and we do have to try to incentivize that. So if we can get all of these things running, if we can draw investors in, we do have good tools for that. But it's also my job to figure out how we're making sure that our property owners, our homeowners, aren't being unduly burdened by the tax structure that we have in the city. And, you know, I hate the wage tax. You talk about living outside of the area too, Jason. And when I moved from New York in 2016, I couldn't believe how high the wage tax was. I was shocked there even was one.
That's something you're still working on here, all the mercantile tax, all that stuff. What is the big holdup? Like, what is the issue? How can we...
On the business privilege mercantile?
Yeah.
So that's another, we have to work with the school district on that. So that's
nothing's easy, is it? Jeez.
If we could, if we could do it unilaterally, I think it would have already been done. Nothing's easy. And it's interesting because when I do talk to, you know, different mayors of cities, a lot of mayors also, bigger cities have, you know, the school districts that are under them. And that's a huge burden, but it also means that some of these things like that you can do. And you and I had talked about Oregon recently. You know, in Oregon, the school board doesn't raise taxes. It's only by referendum of the people. So when I moved to Pennsylvania, I couldn't believe that it was just elected board members that raise taxes. So, you know, I think longer term, we should take a real hard look at the whole governing structure in Pennsylvania, because I think there's some things that we should do by referendum that we do with just a small group of people.
Is it safe to say, because I had the same experience having grown up in Jersey, moving to Pennsylvania, spending 10 years here, going out to the West Coast, coming back, it's convoluted, and it's hard to hold people accountable for their decisions when it's like, well, I only made this decision because they made that decision. I had to do this because they did that. And they go, no, we did this because of that. There's so many people making such huge decisions that affect people financially that it's like, you can't really hold people. And then people just decide, I don't like that person. People really know who to blame sometimes. And it sucks. From being honest.
Right. Well, and there's so many layers of government, right? There's so many layers. Connecticut, I believe, got rid of their counties. Like, I'm not saying, you know, love all our county commissioners and everything, but, you know, you have so many different layers of government, and I think we really need to simplify the way that we govern in Pennsylvania, and that's a longer term thing, but it's possible. And you can overdo it, right? You live in California, you can do too much by referendum. I mean, California can be arguably is over democratized, right? So somewhere in the middle. But I couldn't believe, as a school board member, when I first got on, and one of the first pieces of legislation in front of me was, you know, a tax increase, and I thought, wait, what? How is this possible? At home, any bond issue, that's all the people voting.
Right.
And I'd like us to get to some more of these things by referendum instead of by, you know, we are elected officials, and, you know, I'm working really, really hard to make really informed decisions and to continue to talk with people and not just make them behind closed doors. But at the end of the day, I think we have some ways to go structurally with our government.
Someone wanted me to ask you this, and then I just have a question about how people can reach out and contact you with questions, because someone said they reach out, they don't get responses, and I know you said when you campaign you're going to be very accessible, and I know you're busy with things, but where do you currently stand on bankruptcy for the city? Is it a viable option to consider? Is it something you throw around, or is it a no-go, and that's not what's going to happen anytime while you're in office?
Yeah. Well, first, I would wonder if they didn't. So we sometimes people say that they didn't hear back from us, but we did write them back. Or the Scranton311@scrantonpa.gov email is monitored every day, and we have the phone number 348-4101. Those are two ways to get in touch with me. Facebook, we do monitor. We aren't able to respond to it as immediately as those emails.
Okay.
So maybe somebody reached out on Facebook, and we haven't gone back to them yet. So the email's on there for a reason. It's on the Facebook bounce back. So again, Scranton311@scrantonpa.gov. The bankruptcy issue. So the bankruptcy, you can't just declare it unilaterally as a city. You have to ask permission from the governor. You have to basically petition the governor for bankruptcy. And I do not believe that there's any appetite in Harrisburg to have anyone in the state, except for maybe a very extreme circumstance, declare bankruptcy. So I think that it's a bit of a non-starter given the process of that. So but I will consider anything, and that this is a thing is, again, not going to put blinders on. We're not going to pretend that you know, our finances are something that they're not. And so, you know, really looking at a whole range of options continuously. And there isn't, you know, we would never leave anything off the table completely, but we also need to be aware of the processes. And again, I think it's pretty much a non-starter, but, you know, I'm not going to pretend that it's not something that's crossed my mind before.
Gotcha. Okay. I just went over my time here, and I'm a little late for a break, and I got stuff to do. And well, look, we should, I always say this, we should set something up every couple of weeks, have you come back on just to have these conversations and stuff.
I would love to. I enjoy it very much. I would talk to you all day if I could. Well, and I'd love to take calls at some point.
I was going
to
say, yeah, it might make you cringe, people, because WLK listeners are very opinionated, and they have, they're going to tell you how they feel. And oh, are you? You know, so at some point, taking calls, I'd love to do that. Let's set it up and let's do it, and, you know, give something to do while we're still kind of being careful and keeping our distance. But Mayor Cognetti, thank you for your time, okay? Appreciate it.
The Jason Barsky Show, weekday mornings from 9 till noon on WILK News Radio.
Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.